Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Star Seed Gems, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. And they are the proud sponsors of Forever Family Foundation's November Mediumship Convention, Mediums Behind the Scenes, the Second Biennial Afterlife Explorers and Mediumship Convention. Our guest tonight is Nelson Abreu, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, do you have any words of wisdom tonight or some deep thoughts for our listeners?
I have none of that, but I was thinking about, we had a webinar last night. We have occasionally, very popular, we get three of our certified mediums of the foundation. And we set up a panel, and they do a little talk each, and then the attendees can just fire away questions. Of course, last night there were way more questions than we could get to in the allotted time, but there were some really interesting questions, and mediums don't have all the answers, especially when it comes to philosophical questions. For instance, there was one question about is there an end game to soul growth? In other words, is there a conclusion to our efforts that we keep, refining, coming back, learning lessons, or are we on an infinite path, that never ends? I don't know the answer to that.
I have a deep belief in that. I truly believe that there is an end to the incarnation that you will choose to have. And I think that in this, and some of the mediums last night were talking about what I also believe in, which is this hierarchy of light. And that as you become more enlightened, you move closer to the creator or this ultimate light until you are so evolved spiritually that you become one with the light.
Right. And that makes sense. And that's, I think, is the basis for a lot of the Eastern religion and philosophy, that you merge into the greater consciousness when you attain that state of enlightenment. To some people, they find it a hard concept, and they're somewhat fearful of that because they're thinking in physical terms.
Right.
They don't want to be distinguished, and we know that the human personality survives along with memories, and that we retain who we were in various different incarnations. So to some people, the thought of no longer remembering our loved ones and the physical existence is uncomfortable. But then again, we're thinking purely from this point.
But people who are so preoccupied with their physical existence and can only look at things from the physical point of view don't have that inner knowing of this greater universe, this greater existence that is not confined by the three-dimensional world in which we live. And if we go back a gazillion years when the human species was on the earth and gleaning guidance from the other side directly, all of that was known. There was no fear in death. Death was a celebration because you've completed the reason that you were here. You've completed that part of your growth, and you were able to now graduate and go back to the other side.
Yeah, so some of the questions, had some deep significance and some deep thought behind them. They ranged. I know one question that was a lively subject of a lively debate was Ouija board.
Oh yeah.
One person wrote in, what the mediums thought about Ouija boards, and one of the mediums was very adamant, that people should, stay away from those because you're inviting in, dark energies.
And, yeah, I think the words were exactly, I don't know why Milton Bradley is still making them.
Yeah, I don't know why
they're
still selling
them.
Right.
But I think a lot of the baby boomers, because back in the 60s, there were two very favorite topics of discussion, which were ESP and UFOs. And so going to the store and buying your own Ouija board and playing with a Ouija board with your friends was something that almost everybody did. And I don't recall having any issues playing with the Ouija boards, particularly the stories that some of these mediums shared. My take on it is that there's a lot of things that come into being because of our own intentions and our own fears. So if you're going to approach a Ouija board with the assumption that it has negative, bad connotations to it, then that's what you're going to expect when you use the Ouija board. Innocent kids in the 60s, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds didn't say, there could be some dark things behind this. And so there wasn't. So,
right. I mean, that might be similar. It's a stretch, but, if I said to you, be very cautious with your dreams, because, bad things can happen, in your dreams. And I kept telling you that, and chances are you're going to have some bad dreams.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think Janet Nohavik was saying that, it's a tool, a Ouija board, like the planchette is a tool. Some mediums use tarot cards, right, in a similar fashion.
Right.
I don't know much about tarot cards, but I know there's good and there's bad in the cards, right?
Right, but that's in the reading of it. That's what they will argue. That's in the reading of it, that some cards, signify negative things that might come up occurring in your life.
Well, we're going to go to our break because we're going to have our guest, Dr. We're going to have Nelson Abreu. He wrote a book with Dr. Torben Reese called Ordinary People, Extraordinary Experiences. So we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with our guest, Nelson Abreu. Stay with us. Back in a couple.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest this evening is Nelson Abreu. Our sponsor tonight is Starseed Gems, proud sponsors of Forever Family Foundation's November Mediumship Convention. Mediums Behind the Scenes, the second biennial Afterlife Explorers and Mediumship Convention, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. Bob.
And our guest tonight, as Fran mentioned, Nelson Abreu. He's an electrical engineer, an author, an educator. Began studying transformative, multidimensional consciousness phenomena, such as out-of-body experiences, back in 1998. Nelson has developed apps that facilitate altered states and profound relaxation. He has developed original workshops. He taught about OBEs, subtle energy, mindfulness, lucid dreaming, intuition, and personal development at nonprofit International Academy of Consciousness. He's been doing that since 2003. He's presented at various universities, conferences, and workshops throughout the world, published articles in blogs, magazines, and journals, and contributed chapters to four other books. His new book, which he co-authored with Dr. Torben Risa, is called Ordinary People, Extraordinary Experiences, Real Cases of Transformative Phenomena. Welcome to the show, Nelson. Glad to have you.
So nice to be here with you. Thanks for the invitation.
You know, and so we're talking... A lot of people think of material science, you know, as the opposite of some of these non-physical phenomena that we discuss. But you've been using technology to help foster these non-physical experiences. So do you think that this is the next wave of science, using what we discover and know to probe the unknown?
I believe so. I think there's two parts to that. One is to see that the experience itself, you can enjoy it whether you think it is ultimately something related to just the brain, or if it is a way to peer beyond the brain and beyond the body, beyond the physical matter. So there's two aspects. I think there's a growing realization that, for instance, an out-of-body experience can have pain reduction benefits, analgesic benefits. For instance, a lucid dream can help develop insight or creative problem solving. And that's useful for just about anyone. Also, we know things like the near-death experience have very much clear changes that can result in terms of personality. People can become more altruistic, lose the fear of death. So those have very clear objective benefits, no matter what the ultimate nature of the experience really is. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. Of course, I think it matters if there's life after death or not. But we can at least begin from a point of common ground where these experiences are positive, transformative, and then they provide us an opportunity to investigate those bigger questions as well. As far as technology is concerned, I believe so, that by employing technology, we are able to make these experiences more accessible. And if more people can have these experiences, then we will be able to investigate these questions even easier.
And when we talk about, we use terms like multidimensional consciousness phenomena, in lay terms, how would you define the concept of these multidimensional phenomena?
So at first glance, these are basically altered states, and that's not controversial. When you are in a lucid dream, an out-of-body experience, when you are doing some sort of energy mindfulness work, you are not perceiving the world and yourself like you do normally. So you're deviating from your normal baseline waking state in terms of your attention, your concentration, the way you sense the world in general. However, because a lot of people are starting to see that through their personal experiences, they can reach certain conclusions like, if I have an out-of-body experience and I meet someone else in an out-of-body experience, and then we share facts that were difficult to just guess, if we observe things at a distance that we can later confirm, if we meet someone who's supposedly deceased, and then they can report to us veridical information we can confirm, you get enough of these types of experiences. And now it's not just an altered state. It is also something that indicates that the mind or consciousness or being is more than just a result of the brain, that the consciousness is able to perceive and to manifest in multiple levels. That's what we mean by multidimensional. And so these phenomena might be a way for people to not just get those benefits we talked about, like reduction of pain, reduction of stress and anxiety, which are very important, and improvement of creativity and insight, they may also be a sort of stepping stone into the world of the afterlife or before birth, whichever way you see it. As such, these phenomena would show that consciousness or mind with capital M is more than just a result of the brain. And instead of having to believe only, for example, in an afterlife, we might have a way to actually get a preview and be more like explorers, where we can have multiple people do their personal explorations and then check their notes, and at times even be able to cross-reference and to check against things that they can verify.
So there is a certain freedom if you are able to attain the knowledge that we're more than our physical bodies, isn't there? You know, it comes along with the what you were talking before. The we think of ourselves differently. You know, being connected to the universe as opposed to being a separate entity.
You point to something very important, which is, Why bother studying these things? Is it just about some very practical little benefits, or is there like a big picture kind of impact? I believe there is a big picture impact in the sense that if you look at the crises that we face today, we find more and more division, political division, nationalistic divisions, right? But also inequality. We look at the division between us and nature with climate change and pollution. And if you look at pretty much any crisis that we face as humanity, as individual countries, as communities, if you go deep, you will find that everything is based on a set of values, of behaviors and attitudes. And what determines that? It is the underlying framework of reality, which is actually consciousness or being. If you change consciousness or being through these transformative experiences, which completely redefine the way we think about ourselves and others, so we think of ourselves as something more than just this body, more than the brain, something interconnected to other beings, nature, you know, animals, plants, but also other beings, other countries, maybe even other planets. This more cosmic or planetary view can help transform the way that we behave towards nature, towards each other. And then if you change that, you might change what you think is good economics, what you think is good politics, what you think is a good way to run a company. So even though people think these things are very abstract and devoid of connection with the physical world, actually, it's very much relevant. And we will see the benefits in a practical sense, because consciousness transformation can mean cultural transformation over time.
Well said. Do you believe that there is an underlying, we use a lot of terms, an underlying energy field, an information field? I mean, the ancients had terms like chi or prana. Are there these unseen fields of information or energy that connect us all and make the psi phenomena available to us all?
Right. So the experiential perspective allows us to discover that, okay, something is happening. We definitely have experiences. Now to actually explain them is a big head scratcher, and nobody really knows for sure how to explain this phenomenon 100%. But of course, like you indicated, there are models and way language that's been developed to talk about them. But we can look at the experiences and at the experiments that have been done for hints. So for instance, we know that on 9/11, there was, in 2001, a very traumatic event on Earth. But also we know that there was a network of random number generators, these electronic devices running throughout the world as a network. Data was being collected. And when you look at them normally, they act randomly, meaning they have a random stream of zeros and ones. It would be as if somebody's sitting there flipping coins over and over, and you have about the same number of heads and tails. But the 4 hours leading to the first plane hitting the first tower, it was as if many ones were coming up, or many heads were coming up, many more than would be expected by chance. And there was this huge effect or deviation from randomness. A simpler way to say that is, it's almost as if there was more order. It's something that you see with a lot of consciousness-related phenomena, is that it seems like consciousness has the ability to take things that are normally disordered, or I'm sure everybody's heard of entropy, and somehow consciousness is able to temporarily, or in a very small area, reduce that entropy and create more order. And the more people that were connected to each other in this moment of pain and trauma, the more order there was. So it's a bit ironic, right, that there's this thing that's very much chaotic, you know, an attack. But for a moment, it brought us all together in pain and shock, but it brought us all together. And somehow, even the physical world that governs these machines reflected that order. And so you can see that people were far apart from each other. The machines were far apart from each other. Even in terms of time, the effects started manifesting 4 hours before, as the event becomes more and more probable and inevitable. So, yes, there is some kind of quote-unquote field, but it doesn't fit the bill of normal energy fields, like magnetic fields, because it's not strictly related to distance or even time, not strictly. But it matters more in terms of subjective variables, like how close people are, what kind of emotional state do they have, what kind of rapport do they have. So when you have a lot of people sharing a feeling, sharing a moment of rapport, then it picks up. It's not that different than if you could be close to a parent or to a child, right next to them, and you could feel what's going on with them. Or they could be on the other side of the world, and if something happens to them, you get a feeling right away. So it doesn't matter that they're on the other side of the world or close to you. What matters is that you have closeness in terms of emotions with them. So what kind of field behaves this way? No kind of physical field, but there's some sort of consciousness level field or energy field or information field that seems to just permeate everything and defy the normal laws of physics.
And one of the additional interesting things about that Global Consciousness Project is that the same results were picked up for good events as well as bad events, you know, negative and positive, you know. So it seems to be when that mass concentration comes into the awareness of people all over the globe. It's fascinating, you know. You obviously have expertise in the out-of-body experience. I tend to find that a lot more people have heard of near-death experiences, you know, of which, you know, the OBEs are a component, but they don't necessarily know what an out-of-body experience is. And could you tell us about some of the characteristics of the out-of-body experience, what goes on, what people, the feelings that they have as they enter into such a state?
Most people that have out-of-body experiences were not planning to have one. They tend to be spontaneous. So maybe they worked very hard, they're really tired, they come home, lie down on the couch, their body goes basically to sleep almost immediately, but their mind is still awake. And when you find yourself in this body asleep, mind awake situation, your odds of having an out-of-body experience increase quite a bit. And so sometimes people in this situation have an out-of-body experience. What is that like? It could be spontaneous and immediate, where you, 1 second, you feel like you are normal in your body. In another moment, you feel like you are in another point in space with a more subtle body, and you might even be able to look back at your physical body. And at that point, the person who's unprepared might just really be really confused and maybe scared or very excited. And in the state of excitation, they normally just come crashing back into the body, and they feel like something at the back of their head tugs them back, and then they sort of sink back into the body. However, with practice, just about anyone can have out-of-body experiences. Some people can do it in a matter of days and weeks, some people in terms of months. Myself, I had to practice for 5 months straight, pretty much every day. But then I did manage to have my first full-blown, intentional, conscious, and recalled out-of-body experience. And in between, I had a lot of fits and starts, partial OBEs. So for example, in the beginning, I would feel energy in my body, vibrations, pulsations. I would hear funny sounds, we call them intracranial sounds, like staticky sounds, crackling leaves, things of that sort. I would feel energy flows in my body, and I would feel like I'm starting to detach. I feel like I have a lighter body that's just slightly floating above the physical body. And sometimes I would feel like I'm actually just floating, but I cannot go anywhere. Other times I could detach, for example, an arm, and I could feel my physical arm very numb, like a lump on my bed. And then this lighter arm that would detach and float above. And then after a while, it would come back. But with practice, I was able to sort of peel away like Velcro, you know, my entire body. And so it felt like a very gradual detachment from the physical body. And for a few moments, I could feel both this numb physical body in the bed, and at the same time, this lighter body that I'm moving. And when I moved away from the physical body enough, then I didn't feel the physical body anymore. And I could stay outside, and I could decide I'm going to go through this wall, and then I'm in the living room. I could say, I would like to see what's behind me, and would not even have to turn around. And I could just have a visual impression of what's behind me. Or I'd like to see in 360 degrees simultaneously, and I could do that. Or I'd like to see what's on the other side of that wall. And it's almost like I could get a visual reading of the energy or information all around me. But then I could also think about my sister in Portugal, where I was born, and I could think intensely about her voice, memories I have with her, nicknames. And after making a strong connection, I could feel like I teleport there. And when I'm there, I can witness, for example, my nieces and see what they're doing. And then perhaps I could come back and call them and say, hey, were you in the playground? Were you doing this and that? And then they could confirm what I saw. So this is a typical out-of-body experience for someone who's been doing this a little bit longer. So you can see that it can happen spontaneously, but with practice, you can also do it intentionally. Maybe not every single time, you will have some hits and misses, but enough times that you can accumulate a lot of experience.
Isn't it interesting that many of the things that you describe, you know, we would a lot of people would think of them as super normal type of abilities. You know, somebody might term it as something that a superhero would do, and yet these things are inherent to us all in some degree, as you described. So it is quite amazing. Is there do you find that people are often fearful of out of body experiences at the beginning, thinking that maybe if they went out of their body, that they might not be able to get back in?
I think it depends on the culture. So, for example, I visited some countries like Sri Lanka that are predominantly Theravada Buddhist. And since the time that they're children, they learn about the Buddha and other great monks who throughout the ages did things like out-of-body experience, bilocation, healing, many things. So for them, it's kind of normal. So normal that maybe they don't think it's a big deal. On the other hand, I've lived in Europe, in the U.S., and it's different here. Most people are not so easygoing around these topics. So in my case, growing up Catholic, growing up with some fears about the afterlife and all these things, and also watching Hollywood movies that might be scary, you can imagine that my first steps into this field were a mixture of curiosity and fear. So it was a matter of the curiosity being stronger than the fear, right? And so my first few OBEs or OBE attempts, I could have had better results, but when I felt strong sensations of vibration, I felt like my astral body is about to go out. At that moment, I would hesitate. I would tense up my body and stop the experience. Even though I read about it, I talked to the people who had experiences, and rationally, I knew there was nothing to fear. Especially because I thought that we would survive death. And, you know, you can read in the religious texts about people that had these sorts of experiences. You can read many authors that shared their experiences, collections of other people's experiences. I took courses eventually to help get over this fear by getting more information. So it's just by dipping my foot in the pool little by little. I was hesitant, but then after a while, I felt comfortable enough to take the deep dive. And once I did, I released myself of the fear. And I remember growing up being afraid of the dark, afraid of ghosts, afraid of this and that. And I have to tell you, it's a wonderful fear, a wonderful feeling to live basically without fear. Of course, we all have some fear, but it's so mitigated. The fear of death, the fear of what lies after we die. Because if you've been there, so to speak, and you've had interactions with spirit guides or mentors, and you have worked with them even to help people to cross over, and you help you've been able to do excursions and see how people can prepare for the next life, and you are seeing the afterlife. Now you're more familiar, so it's not a big unknown anymore, and you're no longer afraid of death. And I feel like our society is built on many fears. And once you can overcome the fear, you are less controllable, you're less influenceable. We are still subject to influence, but less so. And you can be more free to be yourself, to prioritize the things that matter to you in this life. Life is short, but you are immortal. So yes, you don't have to fear dying. But at the same time, you realize the opportunities of this life are finite. And so you can be courageous and do what you think is more coherent with your ethical core. And sometimes that means doing things that people don't understand because it doesn't make a lot of money or it doesn't bring power, but it brings satisfaction to you because it helps people. It brings enlightenment and education and well-being. And so you can get this sort of inner strength to follow your own dreams, to follow a path of making the world better and yourself better at the same time. Ongoing evolution.
Absolutely. You hit on all of the points that we talk about all the time, and you did it very eloquently. We are talking with Nelson Abreu. The book is Ordinary People, Extraordinary Experiences, Real Cases of Transformative Phenomena. We have to go to a short break. We come back. We have more to talk to with Nelson, so stay with us.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, we have been talking to Nelson Abreu. Our sponsor is Starseed Gems. They are the proud sponsors of Forever Family Foundation's November Mediumship Convention, Mediums Behind the Scenes, the second biennial Afterlife Explorers and Mediumship Convention in Fort Myers, Florida. And Starseed Gems can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. We want to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, regularly for the latest events and happenings. Coming up free next month in November, on November 10th, from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, 11 to noon Pacific. We have our online group meeting, the Visionary Explorers Group. And also on November 10th, from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the Afterlife Discussion Group that meets at the West Dade Regional Library in Miami, Florida. We would like you to mark your calendars for our annual Winter Grief Retreat in warm and sunny Fort Myers, Florida, coming up January 4th through 6th, 2019. These weekends fill up early and super early bird rates have been announced, so if you hurry, you can reserve your member-only spot at below cost to attend. Details and registration links are on the website events page. Do not miss out on this great event. We are also hosting a special webinar for medical and mental health professionals only on October 29th from 9 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You must be a medical or mental health professional to attend. It is called Assessing and Addressing Beliefs in the Afterlife, Competencies and Ethics, and will be presented by Beth Christofferson. Our biennial mediumship convention weekend in Fort Myers, Florida is just 2 weeks away on November 9th through 11th. Mediums Behind the Scenes. Imagine spending a weekend with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums along with noted experts on the afterlife. The event features frequent spirit communication, small teaching workshops, and group presentations, all designed to facilitate connections, foster your own communications with spirit, and learn about what happens after death. We also have a lot of fun things planned for the weekend, and unlike those pick-and-choose conventions, our unusual simple pricing includes both Friday night and Saturday night banquets, complete with entertainment and spirit communication, not to mention our psychic goodie bags. And here is a special code to save yourself $75 per seat. So for you and your friends, use the promo code RadioShow75. That's RadioShow75. And following November comes December, particularly December 23rd, when we will draw 5 winners who will each win a reading with a Forever Family Foundation certified medium in our annual Holidays Past raffle. It is only $5 to enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great not-for-profits. And follow us on our YouTube channel for great stories and videos at youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. Back to you, Bob.
And we're talking with Nelson Abreu, the book, which you can, it's an e-book. It's available on Amazon. There's a link on our website for the book, Ordinary People, Extraordinary Experiences, Real Cases of Transformative Phenomena. Nelson, I'm very intrigued, and I'm sure a lot of our listenership is, about technology that can be used to induce altered states of consciousness. So tell us a little bit about, you know, these technologies and what we can expect.
Since ancient times, people have worked with quote-unquote technologies to get into altered states. For example, music, drumming, right? Also, entheogens, right? Plants to get into altered states. But more recently, we are discovering things like the use of sound, the use of vibration to mimic some of the techniques that we use to have out-of-body experiences. I'll give you an example. Nancy Trivolato is one of my colleagues. She wrote a book called The Vibrational State, which is related to a kind of a naturally occurring state where your entire energy field, chi, feels like it's vibrating. So it enters a sort of resonant state. And this happens spontaneously to people, but it happens very often before an out-of-body experience. Not always, but fairly often. So then the thought was, if you can induce this state of resonance, maybe you could have more out-of-body experiences. So people like Robin Monroe and others have come up with techniques to induce the vibrational state. The technique that Nancy discusses that I've been teaching through IAC is a way of moving the energy or chi that is already in your system from, for example, your head, from your body, down to your feet, and then back, and then increasing the amount that is being moved, that is moving through your body, and the speed at which it's moving through your body. When you have a sufficient amount of energy moving at a sufficient rate, then instead of just part of your energy being organized, all your energy becomes organized. So it's I compare it to metal filaments that are on a table, and then you bring a magnet, and when you bring it close enough, all the metal filaments point in the same direction. Or you have all the musicians in an orchestra, they are tuning their instruments, they're each doing their own thing, but then the maestro can ask them all to play the same note, and you get this big resonant feeling. So I'm sure you've all played with water, a cup of water that might be crystal, and then you dip your finger and you go around the rim, and then you hit the right speed, the whole glass vibrates. So that's what we're doing with our energy. Now, typically people have a hard time reaching this state, even though the technique appears to be fairly straightforward. It has some nuances that make it more difficult. What I've developed with a colleague of mine, Thomas Anderson from Nashville, is we used vibrations, physical vibrations that can travel through a bed, through a platform, that can travel from the head to the feet and from the feet back to the head, so that if you're lying on this platform, your attention will follow this feeling, this vibration that is traveling from your head to your feet, from your feet to your head. So what happens is we kind of play a nice trick for people. Their attention follows the physical vibration, and the energy follows where the attention goes. So we end up having people moving their energy field from the head to the feet to the head, and we can vary the speed. And we're basically mimicking this technique that is described in Nancy's book. We call it the velo technique. It basically, it's an oscillation of energy from head to feet. What people report is after a while, of course, they're lying down, they're relaxed, they're listening to music, but they also feel like their energy field reaches this more resonant state. Once they reach this resonant state, you are more open to entering altered states like remote viewing, out-of-body experience, premonitions, and so on. This is one example how we're using a technology that's physical to guide energy states, which can open consciousness states. Does it make sense?
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, even listening to the explanation of mediumistic communication, a lot of the mediums will say that, well, these non-physical realms are of a higher vibrational state, so the thing that they need to do, and we all need to do, is to somehow change or increase our vibrational energy to enter these altered states. So it seems to be the same concept, you know.
That's right. Yeah. You've also heard people use light to achieve altered states. Right, music, sounds,
right.
But I'm also using simple techniques. Like I develop a technique to have more out of body experiences, whereby I realized that when I would fall asleep for a few moments when I'm lying down, I would obviously relax deeper. But if something woke me up, like a bird song, after a few minutes of dozing off, I would be in a deeper state of relaxation. I could feel my energy. And then it would actually be easier for me to have out-of-body experiences. So what I realized is that I could set a number of alarm clocks or alarms. So, for example, I would give myself 30 minutes or 40 minutes, then 20 minutes, then 10 minutes. And then 5 minutes consecutively. And at these intervals, I would have a song or a sound go off. So what would happen is within that first 40 minutes, I would relax, maybe I'd fall asleep, but then the sound would ring and I would wake up. Then I would have 20 minutes where I could relax even deeper, maybe fall asleep, maybe not, and then 10 minutes, and then a bunch of 5-minute intervals. And what this does is my body could relax deeply, gradually, while my mind would fall asleep, wake up, fall asleep, wake up, and I would find myself in that so-called hypnagogic period between awake and asleep. And like I said in the beginning, body asleep, mind awake means higher chance of OBEs. Now, at first, I would use different alarms and my cell phone, and it's a little bit awkward, and you have to move your hand to turn off the alarm. So I developed an app called Numa app that would automate that whole thing. You press a button and you leave it alone. And then after 40 minutes, it rings and it plays a song for a few seconds. Then it does the same thing 20 minutes later, then in 10, and then in 5 minutes thereafter. And by using this technique, you can kind of relax without fearing falling asleep and waking up 8 hours later, right? You can just surrender to the relaxation without totally falling asleep. And then you can more easily find yourself in that sweet spot. So that's another example how we can use technology to mimic OBE and that mindfulness techniques to be more successful.
Yeah, and you're in a unique position that, you know, well, many of the psi phenomena are difficult to research under controlled conditions. So if you have a researcher like yourself who actually has had the experiences, I think we could learn a lot more, and that is not only with outer bodies, but a lot of these other phenomena we talk about. We have been talking with Nelson Abreu. The book is Ordinary People, Extraordinary Experiences, Real Cases of Transformative Phenomena. What's the best way for people to learn more about your work, Nelson?
They can email me at nelson.abreu@gmail.com.
Okay.
They can also find me through some nonprofits I work with, IAC, the International Academy of Consciousness, the ICRL, the International Consciousness Research Laboratories, or a company I co-founded with my wife on consciousness design and technology called Numascape Studio.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. I mean, there's so much more to talk about, so perhaps you can come back at another time and we can get into some of this other stuff. And we appreciate it. I'd like to learn more about your work, so let's stay in touch and have a good evening.
I would love to, and thank you so much to you and your listeners.
Thank you.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Robin Murray, Donna Mello, Glenna Irwin, Diane Archangel, Fred Folger, and Eddie Kunz. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.